Let us read together in the Word of God. First of all, in the Gospel according to St. Mark at the 7th chapter. Now, one of the seven deadly sins which we studied this morning is the sin of envy. And there isn't one particular passage in Scripture which teaches about envy and the Christian attitude to it, but it's interesting that the sin of envy is mentioned in several lists of sins that you find in the New Testament. And some of the commentators say that this was the traditional rabbi's method of teaching. A rabbi would teach lists of things to be avoided by the faithful. And throughout the New Testament, you get these little lists. I suppose that the disciples would chant the lists to remind them of the things to be avoided, in much the same way in which children in school chant lists to help their memories. And so in Mark 7, we find one of these lists with the word envy in it. At verse 14. And Jesus called the people to him and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a man which by going into him can defile him, but the things which come out of a man are what defile him." In other words, the root of sin and of evil is something that lies within us. It's a part of our nature and our constitution. It comes from our hearts rather than from our environment. Of course, nowadays we're commonly taught that the root of sin and failure and evil in man is an environmental thing. But the Bible teaches that it is constitutional rather than environmental. It has to do with our nature rather than with our nurture. Verse 15. There is nothing outside a man in his environment which by going into him can defile him. But the things which come out of a man, out of his nature, are what defile him. And when Jesus had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a man from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and so passes on? Thus he declared all foods clean." And he said, "It is what comes out of a man that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy." And you notice the company that it keeps. It's on the same level as adultery and murder. Envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from the inside, and they defile a man. The second of these lists is found in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, where Paul is speaking about the universal nature of human sin. And he speaks about those who have been abandoned by God to their wickedness, since they are so determined to pursue it. And his judgment on mankind is found at verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a base mind and to improper conduct. And here comes the list. They were filled with all manner of wickedness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, and they are gossips. And you notice that gossip is put on the same level as all these other sins. Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but approve those who practice them. And the third of these lists is found in Galatians chapter 5. In the works of the flesh, which are contrasted, of course, with the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are plain: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, that's black magic, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. And you can see again from the list the company that envy keeps. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the harvest of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us have no self-conceit, no provoking of one another. And lastly, no envy of one another. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word and grant us an understanding of it. In this morning series of studies in the seven deadly sins, we come today to the third of these, which is the sin of envy. And in most translations of the Bible on the market today, you'll find three words that stand together. And these three words are all closely associated in meaning. The first is the word envy, the second is the word jealousy, and the third is the word zeal. And the interesting thing is this, that these three English words, envy, jealousy, and zeal, are in fact translations of two Greek words, which you find in the New Testament, but which have subtle shades of meaning. Let me just speak about these two rather special Greek words this morning. I don't expect you to remember the Greek, but I do expect you to remember the different shades of meaning. The first word is the word phonos. And basically, phonos means ruin or ill will. And it has the feeling in it of malice directed against someone. A person with phonos envy in his heart is someone who bears you ill will and a malicious spirit. It's the word that's used by the Apostle Paul when he's writing to Timothy, and in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 4, he speaks about the well-known phenomenon of Christians in the churches who are overfond of controversy and arguments about spiritual things. And Paul says about these difficult, awkward, argumentative Christians in the fellowships, he says, they are puffed up with their own self-importance. They have a morbid craving for controversy and for disputes about words which produce envy. And the word he uses is the word phonos. And it's phonos envy. Ill will and malice in a fellowship that are bred by a fondness for controversy. The second of these Greek words is the word zelos. And as you can hear, this is the basis of the English words zeal, zealous, jealous, and zealot, zelos. And the basic meaning of the word zelos has to do with fire and heat and fervency and something that blazes up. Zelos envy is something that flares up in your heart like a fire when you throw petrol on it. You may recall that Jesus chose as one of his early followers a man called Simon, and he was nicknamed Simon the Zealot because it seems he was something of a political hothead and liable to get carried away by the political and the social issues of the day. Simon, a man with zelos in his constitution. And this word, zelos, envy that burns like a fire, is the word that Paul uses when he writes to the Christians in Corinth in his second letter to them, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20. And he says to the Christians in Corinth, I'm afraid that when I come to you, you may not find in me what you want to find. And I'm afraid that I won't find in you what I ought to find. For I fear that there is still zelos among you. Envy that blazes up like a fire. You see, the Corinthian Christians were jealous of each other They were jealous of each other's gifts. They were jealous of prophecies and tongues and miracles and signs and wonders. But Paul says that it was zealous envy which they had in their hearts. It was jealousy that burned and blazed like a fire. And if you take these two words together, thonos, envy, and zealos, envy, the two basic ideas in the sin of envy are, first of all, the idea of destruction, thonos, and secondly, the idea of fire, zealos. Now, the really fascinating thing is this, that these two words, thonos and zealos, although they're commonly used of the sin of envy, are exactly the same words that are used of good envy and good jealousy and good zeal and holy envy. Because the Bible teaches that there are such things as good envy and good jealousy and good zeal and good ambition. And this good envy, which is used in connection with these same two words, thonos and zealos, this good envy in the Bible is spoken of in four ways. First of all, it's used of God's jealous love for his own. And this is one of the most precious and the most beautiful things in all of the Word of God, that the Lord longs for you. And the Lord loves you. And the Lord cherishes you with a blazing fire of jealousy and envy in his heart for you. Listen to these great assurances from the Bible. This is from the prophecy of Zechariah, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And the Lord answered gracious and comforting words. And he said, I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion. And that literally means, I am exceedingly envious over Jerusalem and Zion, and therefore I have returned to Jerusalem with compassion. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with a great jealousy. Literally, I am envious for Zion with a great envy, and I am jealous for her with great wrath. And my friend, if you are ever tempted to think that God has forsaken you or abandoned you, just think of these great promises. God is jealous for you with a great jealousy, and God loves you with a burning fire of envy. I am jealous for Zion with a great jealousy. Here's another example of this good envy love of God. It comes from Isaiah chapter 63 and verses 15 and 19. And in Isaiah 63, Isaiah is concerned about the paganizing of the church. And it seemed to him as if the church of God in his day had become crowded with worldlings and with worldly people, as it has very often throughout the centuries. And Isaiah is exercised about the secularizing of the courts of God. And his complaint runs like this. And he says to God, "We have become like those over whom thou hast never ruled. We have become like those who are not called by thy name." In other words, we're just like the Gentiles. We're just like the pagans. Your church has become a secular institution. It's filled with Gentiles and pagans who've no time for you. And his appeal to God is this: "Look down from heaven and see from your holy, gracious habitation. Where are your zeal and your might?" Literally, where are your envy and your might? "The yearnings of your heart and your compassions are held back from me." Now, do you see the basis of Isaiah's appeal to God? He is appealing to the envy of God's love for his children. He appeals to God's jealousy for his church. "Remember your church, O God. Have you forgotten how you love us with a holy envy? Come now, show your jealousy for us." God's jealous love, God's envy love for his church and for his children. The second good use of envy in the Bible is found in Paul's envy for the church. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, he writes these famous words. He's writing to the Christians in the wild city of Corinth. And he says, "I feel a divine jealousy for you." It's the word envy. "I feel a divine jealousy for you. For I betrothed you to Christ to present you as a pure bride to one husband. But now I am afraid that just as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, your thoughts may be beguiled from the simplicity that is in Christ." You see, what had happened was this. Paul had gone to Corinth, and he preached the gospel. And these dissolute, feckless Corinthians had repented and turned from their sins and come to Christ and been saved. And in that transaction of preaching the gospel, Paul had engaged the Corinthians to their true husband, Christ. He had handed them over for betrothal to Christ. And now they were in danger of lapsing from their first love. And he says he is jealous over them. He is envious over them. He loves them with a godly envy, caring for them until they come back again to Christ, the first love. And that too is a good envy, the Christian's envy love for the church. Can I ask you, are you jealous for the church of Christ? Do you have a loving zeal? A loving envy? For the work of Christ and the people of Christ in this place? Do you long over Christ's work here with a loving jealousy, as Paul longed over the Christians in Corinth? I feel a divine jealousy for you. Paul's love for the church, and it's the word envy. The third good use of the word envy is the Christian's zeal and jealousy for higher things. I wonder if you know the great phrase, earnestly desire the higher gifts. You find it right at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, right at the end of that chapter on spiritual gifts and graces in the church. And what had happened was that the Christians in Corinth had become taken up and preoccupied with the more sensational gifts of the Spirit. They were interested in signs and wonders and marvels. They were interested in tongues and in miracles, in prophecies and healings. And right at the end of the chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, well, that's all very interesting, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a more excellent way. For though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am nothing. Earnestly desire the higher gifts. And that is good envy. And that is good jealousy, to aim for the highest and to be jealous for higher things. What the Puritans used to call holy ambition. Being envious for Christ's best for your life. Later on in 1 Corinthians at 14 and 12, Paul says the same thing again. He says, strive to excel in building up the church. If you're going to have envy, if you're going to have ambition, strive to excel in building up the church. Holy ambition. Let me give you a good illustration of this from my last parish. A man called Walter Forbes. And Walter Forbes was a very plain man. He was born of working class parents. But he was a very gifted lad. And in those days there was no opportunity for working lads to go to university. And so Walter Forbes became jealous for the higher things. And he made two discoveries in his life. First of all, he discovered he was musical. So he taught himself music. And he found an old wreck of a piano. And he bought it. And behold, when he cleaned it, he discovered it was a German Bluthner Boudoir Grand. So he put in a new set of pins. Would you know how to put pins into a piano? Very hard, because that's when you discover whether the piano tuner has been cheating. You see, a piano tuner who is a cheat, if the pin is slack, he pours in lacquer, and the lacquer fastens the pin. But of course, once the pin is fast, you can't move it again. You can't change it. You can't put the piano up or down, because the lacquer has frozen the pin. He put in a whole set of new pins into a grand piano, and then he decided to restring it. But of course, the music shops would only sell to the trade, and he couldn't get any piano wire, and he found a wee shop underneath the Helaman's umbrella in Argyle Street in Glasgow that would sell him piano wire. So he restrung the whole piano. And then he replaced the felt pads on the hammers. It sounded beautiful, but it looked a mess. So he taught himself French polishing. And he polished it up. And he played the piano for the glory of Christ, which was why he'd bought it in the first place. He was jealous for higher things. The second thing he discovered was that God had given him a preaching gift. So he read and studied and became a very fine preacher of the gospel. I went to say goodbye to him for the last time 16 years ago, just before I came up here, and he was dying of cancer of the liver. And he was still at it, improving himself when he was dying. And I thought of the famous story of the mountaineer who disappeared when he was climbing some mountain range. He was never seen again, but it was recorded of him that when he was last seen, he was making for the summit. And that's a good ambition for a Christian. That is holy ambition in a Christian. When last seen, to be making for the summit, to be jealous for the highest things, and to cultivate a holy envy for Christ's best. And the fourth use of the good envy in the Bible is very beautifully, it's a husband's envy love for his wife. A Christian husband should be proud of his wife. A Christian man should never be ashamed of his wife. And Solomon says in Proverbs 6 and 34, and he's speaking of a man of God who is angry with his neighbor for having made advances to his wife. Solomon says, jealousy makes a man furious. And the word he uses is the word envy. And it's envy love. Envy love makes a man furious. And he will not spare when he takes revenge. The envy and the jealousy of true love. And the sweetheart says to her lover in the Song of Solomon in chapter 6, she says, love, it's as strong as death. Meaning, of course, real love. Not the sentimental twaddle of Mills and Boone's novelettes. Not the sentimental trash of Dynasty and Dallas. But real love is as strong as death, says the girl to her boyfriend. The jealousy of love. And the word she uses is the word envy. The envy of love. Conjugal love, marital love, is as hard as the grave. And if all of that is good envy, what's to be said about the sin of envy? Well, the Bible says we should avoid it for three reasons. The first reason is this: envy will destroy you. It's like a secret cancer or a hidden malignancy. Solomon says in Proverbs 14 and 30, it's a very graphic phrase, envy rots the bones. A tranquil mind gives life to the flesh, but envy rots the bones. Later on in Proverbs 27 and 4, even more graphically, he says, wrath is cruel, and anger is overpowering. But who can stand before envy? We should avoid it because it destroys. Secondly, and more tenderly, we should avoid it because it was the thing that brought Christ to his death. We read in Matthew 27 and 18 that Pilate saw that the scribes and the Pharisees, because of envy, hated Christ and brought him to judgment. And that is why Christians should shun unholy ambitions and unholy jealousies, because it was envy that brought Christ to his cross. And lastly, we should avoid wrong envy for this reason, that Christ calls us to contentment. And you cannot know the blessing of contentment where there is thonos, envy, ill will and malice, where there is zelos, envy, the envy of the blazing fire. You cannot be content and allow envy to roost in your heart. Jesus invites you to be born again. And once you're born again, he invites you to be yourself, your very best self, and your very best born again self. And part of that newness is newness without envy. I was looking up last night the basic word for contentment in the New Testament. You know that the English word contentment comes from the French contenir, which means to hold yourself in. That's contentment, holding yourself in. But I looked up the Greek, and apparently the Greek word for contentment means knowing sufficiency. Just where you are, being satisfied, being full, just where you are. And the New Testament tells us that godliness with that kind of contentment is great gain. Amen. May the Lord bless the preaching of His word.